It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. The Byron Nelson Golf Tournament starts tomorrow, and Irving is hosting it one last time. After 35 years, the event is moving from the Four Seasons Resort in Las Colinas to South Dallas at the new Trinity Forest Golf Club. As Gus Contreras reports, the city, which once hosted the Dallas Cowboys, is moving away from its sports identity.
Earlier this week, golfers were arriving at the TPC Four Seasons Resort, and carts were whizzing past the tall bronze statue of Byron Nelson, the golfer who inspired the name of the tournament. John Britton is in charge of all the golf carts used for the Byron Nelson. He lives in Irving and has been a volunteer at the event for almost 20 years. He loves where the tournament is and doesn't want to see it go.
It's a big change for especially for myself. You know, I live less than 2 miles from the golf course, and I mean, when I first started coming out here, I used to ride my bike, and it just doesn't seem like it's the end, and it's a shame. It really is.
The tournament's moving to the Trinity Forest Golf Club, built on top of a landfill in South Dallas. It's designed to look like the natural landscape of North Texas. Tournament officials say they hope the new course attracts the top-ranked players in the world. But for folks like Britton, the move is just another change for his town.
You know, Irving lost the Cowboys years ago, and now they're losing this tournament. I don't know what else we're going to do. It just doesn't seem like it's going away.
Sports has been a part of the city's DNA since the Dallas Cowboys moved to Irving in 1971. The team's headquarters moved there in 1985. Now, the Cowboys play in Arlington, and the headquarters are in Frisco. Both cities handed out tax dollars to help pay for the new venues. Irving's adjusting to a life without high-profile sports. Maura Gast is executive director of Irving's Convention and Visitors Bureau. She's in charge of attracting businesses and visitors to the city.
Sports has always been there as a part of it, certainly with the Cowboys. It's who put, you know, kind of gave Irving an identity of its own. It was still assumed to be a suburb of Dallas. It was really, really, really different when we said goodbye to Texas Stadium. That was a very surreal Sunday morning. This is going to be a very surreal Sunday afternoon.
Gast says the city is putting its focus on the Irving Music Factory. It's an 8,000-seat entertainment venue that opens in August in Las Colinas. The complex will include restaurants and an Alamo Drafthouse movie theater. Comedians Trevor Noah and Dave Chappelle are headlining there in the fall. Gast says Irving's also working to improve public transit and attract corporate headquarters.
Less golfers, more normal business travelers. We are where we are, kind of locked a little bit in the middle of the Metroplex. If we can't make it easy for people to get in and around us, it's going to be very hard to keep our workforce here. But we're working on filling it with other business because that's what we do all the time.
For both Britton and Gast, saying goodbye to the Byron Nelson and Irving isn't going to be easy on Sunday.
I'm going to be walking probably in the last three groups this year. It definitely will be an emotional day.
And I think I have to assume it's like an empty nester. We're very proud for them, very happy for them, but it is going to suck Sunday afternoon when that happens. I am just prepared to not have any makeup on it the rest of the night. But I'm going to be tearing up because it's their family.
The family isn't moving far, just 40 minutes away. Irving's not dwelling on the Byron Nelson moving on. They're too busy planning for the future. Gus Contreras, KERA News.
In Dallas, the numbers on affordable housing are shocking. There are only 19 affordable homes for every 100 low-income families who need them. That's playing out in West Dallas, as we've been exploring in the series, One Crisis Away, No Place to Go. Fancy new apartment buildings are popping up, but for long-term residents about to lose their homes, there's nothing they can afford to rent. KERA's Courtney Collins takes a look at what could solve or at least dent the affordable housing crisis.
More than 100 families are holding out in West Dallas, still living in old rental houses due to be shut down in 2.5 weeks. They've known that day was coming for 7 months. 200 of their neighbors have already moved. The people who remain say they're out of options.
Both sides should have came out and started talking to the people, you know, beforehand, you know.
I don't see it, but I'm praying. I hope that he'll have a change of heart and go ahead and sell us the properties.
That you can't have, you know, all low income, and you can't have all up here. You know, it's got to be a mixture of all of that.
That's West Dallas community leader Ronnie Mestis, and before him, Ashton Elder and Joe Garcia, two tenants living in homes owned by HMK Limited. The city tightened housing standards last fall, and 305 HMK homes were deemed not up to code. Tenants were allowed to stay through the end of the school year. HMK's owner says he can't afford to fix the 1940s houses. Those three residents we just heard from, they can't quite wrap their heads around all the new development in West Dallas. And the points they just made? That people in gentrifying neighborhoods should be heard, that home ownership should be an option for poor families, and that neighborhoods should be a mix of housing? Those are the same points housing experts across the country have been making for the better part of a decade.
The housing crisis has certainly increased, I'd say, since the homeownership crisis of 2007-2008. So after that, of course, we had millions of people who were previously homeowners who lost their homes and re-entered or entered the rental market,
crowding out people at the bottom of the income ladder. Diane Yentel heads up the National Low-Income Housing Coalition. She says the housing situation in this country is a crisis, and North Texas is in the thick of it. Dallas-Fort Worth is tied for fifth worst in the country when it comes to metro areas with available affordable housing.
We don't lack an understanding of the problem. We don't lack proven solutions to homelessness or housing insecurity, and we actually don't lack the resources either. We just don't target them towards those with the greatest need.
That's been the responsibility of the federal government. And with the conservative Republican administration, there are even more questions. Diane Yentel sketches out several options the government has.
If we were to increase federal investment in programs like the National Housing Trust Fund program, which is a program that creates new rental homes only for the lowest income people, or Section 8 vouchers or other types of rental assistance that can help low-income people afford the homes that they're in, that's what's most needed.
Right now, only a quarter of people who qualify for and need Section 8 vouchers get them, and the waiting list to receive them can be years long. Even with a voucher, there's no guarantee someone will find a place to use it.
The voucher program is highly successful, but it only works when people are able to get into units that accept their Section 8 vouchers. And unfortunately, there's only a couple handfuls of communities across the country that have what are called source of income discrimination protection laws.
And none of those are in Texas. State law actually prevents cities from passing such ordinances. Cities across the country have been dealing with affordable housing crunches for years, from Boston to Oakland. Another big Texas city wrestling with the effects of gentrification? Houston. Tom McCasland is director of housing and community development there.
Some of our previously moderate income neighborhoods, prices have been rising dramatically. And so families who used to have neighborhoods that were affordable are finding themselves squeezed out of those neighborhoods.
One thing Houston is trying, what's known as a community land trust. Run by a nonprofit corporation, it allows people to buy homes at deeply subsidized prices. If a homeowner decides to move, there's a resale formula that keeps the house affordable for the next owner.
That is one of the few mechanisms where you can have home ownership, but have permanent affordability in that neighborhood.
McCasland admits, in a booming housing market like Houston, keeping neighborhoods affordable is a challenge. For him, it's personal.
I grew up in a family of nine kids, underhoused most of my childhood and living in poverty most of my childhood. And there is nothing more important to the safety and security of a child's future than having a good roof over their heads.
That's something just about everyone in West Dallas agrees on. The people losing their rental homes, the city, the landlord. The problem is nobody can agree on when to move those families under new roofs and where those new homes might be. For Rosemary Guerra, hers was 5 miles south in Oak Cliff.
We were used to being outside in the front, and, you know, we knew who passed by and who didn't. And, you know, here, everybody's like, they go outside, but just to cut the yard and stuff like that is totally different.
Our series, One Crisis Away, No Place to Go, continues next week with a look at how life has changed for West Dallas families who've already packed up and moved on. Courtney Collins, KERA News.
It's currently 90 degrees in Dallas and Fort Worth. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.